Butterflies return someday.
You are invited to go on this journey with me. There's a word that has traveled a long road, longer than a lot of people believe, or think, let's say that. A word that didn't begin as a slogan or political jab or, you know, or social media label. A word that actually was born from lived danger. And what word am I talking about? I'm talking about the word woke. Now, I told you it's a journey. Long before modern debates and the headlines and, you know, the arguments and, you know, woke actually lived quietly in Black American language. And it lived a lot longer than I thought. Because, see, I thought that it originated in Vietnam. In the time that I grew up, folks had come back. Black men had come back from Vietnam with their traumatic tales of being there. And being essentially and being hunted by fellow white soldiers who didn't like them and targeted them and profess that their harm came from quote unquote friendly fire. So that's where I grew up thinking that it came from, and that's what I knew it to be. You know, it's saying of, you know, hey man, stay woke. You know, but in the whole time I knew it meant be alert, be aware. And, you know, you got to stay conscious of things that can harm you. You know, keep your eyes open. You know, I didn't know that until I, you know, got of a certain age in my adulthood that this isn't a warning, not woke per se, but that other people don't part ways with one another, with terms like stay safe, be aware, be alert, the way I, you know, grew up out of necessity, you know, doing so. But come to find out, as folks say, I was today years old, when the earliest widely cited use appears actually in 1943. I wasn't even a thought. Blues musician Led Belly. We owe so much to blues musicians, don't we? Boy, so Black American blues musician Led Belly warned listeners to stay woke. Stay woke. Now, what was he speaking about? He could have been speaking about a lot of things, right? But he was speaking specifically in the shadow of the Scottsboro Boys and their first trial in Scottsboro, Alabama, which is why they were named that way. They were non-Black teenagers, and I'll get to that because I want to talk about this. They were falsely accused. And one of the things a lot of us say when we're doing work around violence and abuse, and you don't know, maybe you don't know. A lot of times folks will say, well, why can't we, you know, get into the Black community? And how come when if we go places or we send people there, they don't want to talk? We have a list of things that, you know, can open the conversation, but not everybody wants to talk about it. And on that list, we say, well, you got to be comfortable. And you got to be comfortable not just with what you come in ready to talk about, but with what other folks want to talk about. And particularly with a certain age group, if you don't want to talk about the Scottsboro Boys, that's going to be a silent conversation. Not just that, but I'm just saying cases like that. If that's not comfortable for you. And the reason... it's often remembered only for the trials. Really, it's about a time that America proved again that it could not handle the truth and facts. And people remember that the system wasn't ready to handle truth and facts when it came to black people. So in March 1931, a group of black teenagers and a group of white teenagers were riding a freight train through Alabama. And back then it was called hoboing. And it was like illegally riding the freight trains, you know, that open portion. And it was common among all the poor youth of various races. Well, a fight broke out between the two groups. So you had several white boys and you had several young black boys. And, but the white boys were forced off the train and the train was stopped. And, oh boy, here come the authorities. To avoid arrest for illegal train ride and fighting, the white youths accused the black teens of assault of a white woman, and I believe the other one was a white girl, and claimed that they had been raped. So the two claimed that they had been raped by those teenagers. So now we got a whole different thing, because those white guys were saying, hey, we're defending, you know, their honor. And this is the problem, not us riding these trains. So, despite there being no medical evidence consistent with violent rape, which I can't tell you what they would have taken back in 1931. I really can't. There was conflicting testimony. And there were clear inconsistencies in timelines. I mean, both sets are kids, probably not that sophisticated at stating these untruths. It was the non-black boys who were arrested, and their ages ranged from 13 to 19. And what do you think happened? The trials happened within days, and among them, let's start naming Haywood Patterson, Clarence Norris, and Roy Wright. Now that became shorthand for one of the most notorious miscarriages of justice in U.S. history. But in the black community, it also read several ways, because it was so multi-fluent. It read another way, truth can't be handled. This system continues not to be able to handle truth and fact. It can't handle it well. It can't handle it with integrity. It lacks the integrity and impartiality when you enter in blackness. And so when you talk about going into communities and, hey, well, we have services, and why aren't you wanting to use them? Maybe you feel you can't go here or you can't go there, which is just like every other community. That's a dynamic in every community. But why aren't you then making use of the services that we have here? And the quiet truth in the room is time and 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 time again, it's been proven that the truth and facts will not be handled well when race enters the picture. Until this case ignited national outrage. Those trials happened within days. They were all white juries. There was inadequate legal defense. And there were death sentences. Come on now. Okay, it's 2026. I'm not going to say everything, but you're going to have to read the room here. There were death sentences. Contrast that with everything you know about 2026. Now, it became a global symbol of racial injustice, legal system bias, and the weaponization of false accusations, and also whether or not systems anywhere, but certainly in this country, are prepared to handle the truth when race enters the picture. So there was that. It led to landmark Supreme Court rulings, Powell versus Alabama, and that strengthened the right to adequate legal representation. And Norris versus Alabama, it challenged racial exclusion from juries. Now, the story did begin with poor teenagers riding trains and getting into a fight, something common in youth. What happens when you enter a system that is ready, prepared, standing like an army, ready to receive, ready to go to war against black children, ready to go to war to ignore the evidence, ready to move faster, swift, those trials happen quickly, toward punishment. Instantly. Death sentences. Then toward truth. So when fear, race, and accusation collide, truth can become the very first casualty. So when you talk about the origins of the term of woke, it's really sad how a term that came from warnings about harm was just turned to mockery. And all it was saying was, it's survival language, it really. Know the world that you're walking through. Just know where you're going. Know the world you're walking through. Understand the danger that you may not even be warned about, or that you're being manipulated into, deceived about. And don't drift into innocence, that false sense of innocence and naivete. Don't do that. Because the reality, this reality that you live in, whether you want it to be true or not, I don't live in a fairy tale. Whether you want it to be true or not, it requires awareness. And that's all it was saying. But it was dismissed. So over the decades now, we're keeping on, walking forward. Over the decades, the word, it evolved. It came up again in the civil rights era, in black consciousness movements, and in cultural awakenings. I believe it was Erykah Badu that brought it up recently and said, somewhere in the 2000s, I think, and said, I stay woke. No, that's her. That's what she said. Woke carried the same heartbeat. And I say that because Erykah is known to reach into various, you know, historic understandings and consciousness. That's her. And so woke carried the same heartbeat, awareness of injustice, recognition of patterns, refusal to be asleep through the harm, to let it catch you off guard, if at all possible. It's not always possible, but if it's possible. And then something changed just when it starts to alert people to harm. Something changed that was intentional. The word moved, when it moved into mainstream culture, intentionally the meaning became blurred. It became distorted, it became mocked, politicized, and stripped from its original protective context so that it could focus more on the offended. The offended now get to stand in the spotlight. We're using the word and we're in the spotlight now. It's not about those who are trying to be protected from harm. It's about us who are offended by it. And then people got on that bus because people like to be adjacent to power. They just do. And so people got on the bus, bought the t-shirts, sang the songs, and danced around the fire too. Because that's just us. As human. When I say us, I mean humans. That's just human beings. Seriously, I used to sit. I told y'all, I grew up in the South, if you can't hear it. And I used to sit on the porch. And sometimes, you know, you'd be, me and my cousins and various ones, we'd sit on the porch for hours. And it was just a pastime thing. She might as well call it a hobby. And, you know, you sit on the porch and just chill. How do you know a storm's coming up? Oh, a lot of ways. But one of the ways is, now we had an awning on ours, so you could literally, the one of those huge awnings, now you could literally sit on the porch you could sit through the whole storm if it didn't, you know, if the rain didn't slant a certain way. But one of the ways you knew is the animals became so very alert, like, whoa, what's happening? And the strays would get together in a group. And, you know, they don't care. You could have seen them fighting last week. You could have seen them getting down fighting, rolling down the hill fighting. This week, it's a storm coming. It's a storm coming in about an hour. And those ears are perked up. Those eyes are wandering, moving, you know, back and forth real fast. And they are together. They friends today. Today we friends till this storm is over, and they are walking together, and they walking past you, and you look and you notice, and you're like, oh, storm coming. Because those two don't even like each other. But we don't do that. Someone can be naming harm. And as human beings, we don't go, oh, you don't say, wait, where? You know, our ears don't perk up. Certain cultures do. Certain cultures of us do exactly that. But others get on the mock train, you know? Get on the mock train. So a warning word like stay woke, especially in the mainstream, because it's not a, you know, it's not. One of the cultures that does that, it became, for some, a punchline. So here's the part we don't talk about enough. Now, when societies become, in my assessment anyway, when societies become uncomfortable with the language of harm, now they begin erasing, washing away all those warning signs, all those things. Like I said, you'd be sitting on the porch, you know, you'd even see the old ladies gather their things and move on in. When you erase all those signs that tell people to move, get out of the way, and a hurricane is coming, a tornado might be coming, a big storm might be coming. You need to prepare yourself. When you erase those things, you leave people vulnerable to any storm that comes. So words that name danger, words that signal caution, words that describe patterns of abuse, they get dismissed, they get mocked, they get heckled, and everybody's having a party around the fire. They out in the open. Oh, y'all, did you hear that the thing is coming? Nope, nope, nope. It's an overreaction. It's an exaggeration, I say. It's negativity. Oh, it's just drama. Those people just want attention. Every step of the way, until something happens. And then shock gathers around at the candlelight vigil. Violence rarely arrives without warning signs. Abuse rarely arrives. It rarely appears without some patterns. And I don't say this to blame anybody, because I'm actually talking about societal wise right now. Control, escalation, isolation, kicking that truth away. I don't want to hear any truth today. I don't want to hear it. I have an agenda to satisfy. Threats, persistent pursuit, long after separation, years after she's remarried, has children, and started a whole new life, years after the divorce was final, years later, Yet people distant from the harm, see, they demanded that they be comfortable. They demanded that their comfort be prioritized and that they get to live inside of those comforting assumptions that this never happens. That doesn't really ever happen. You're making stuff up. You're making stuff up to be angry about. Distance creates comfort. Distance from harm creates comfort with it. It can. Comfort then can create disbelief, and disbelief can create silence. So yeah, many people who've been really close to harm, and not just one harm, but lots of different types, like the kaleidoscope of harm. So like they've been close to, you know, the harm of being a female human being. See, I know what that's like. I know what it's like to be a little girl. I know what it's like to be a different race, a different faith, and live it outwardly, and people know, and people don't like it, or to speak a language with an accent. Many survivors know something others struggle to accept, or to have a disability, visible and invisible. So these folks struggle, know something about struggling, know something others struggle to accept. You can get quiet. You can get quiet, silent. You can make everybody around you be quiet. You can shut it all down and you will not still have peace. Silence is not safety always. Sometimes, not always. And absence is not always freedom. Now, Stay Woke was never about superiority. And some people read it that way. And, you know, it's okay to say, hey, I disagree. It's okay to say, I don't understand. But I don't know. We just have this thing where people would rather mock and ridicule than simply say those words. I don't know the history of that word. I'm unfamiliar. I'm uncomfortable with the history of that word. I'm uncomfortable with the facts around that word. I'm uncomfortable with the truth of the origination around that word. No, we're not going to do that. It was never about performance. It was a caution carried through generations, through my ancestors, through your ancestors. Stay aware. Stay discerning. Watch your surroundings. Stay conscious. And stay conscious not just of like physical harm or stuff like that, of what threatens your dignity. If it threatens your dignity, alert, alert. Your safety, alert. And life itself, alert. Because when we discard every single word that warns, when we ridicule the language of, you know, staying, you know, vigilance, when awareness becomes, oh, this is so socially inconvenient for me. I don't like it. Ugh, it doesn't feel good. Inevitably. When you run past every single red light and you just keep on going, eventually you say, the worst. The worst. Comfort is seductive. I know. So especially where harm prefers to hide behind normalcy. We can't keep doing that. We have to receive those messages. And perhaps this is the question we can hold. What do we lose when we keep running through the red lights? Banish the red lights. Laugh at the red lights. Mock the red lights. Decide the red lights hurt our feelings. What do we lose when we stop honoring the words that were created to keep people alive and safe? Listen, stay aware. Make your own word if you want to, but stay aware. Stay discerning. Stay awake to patterns. Not because it's fashionable, not because you want to be mean to people. That's a flawed way to view it. but because history. Because now, right now, today, like, we gotta learn. Now. We've had far too many vigils for too many people, and certainly for too many people at once. And we stop them by learning. We stop them by learning and taking action and receiving the warnings. Those words exist for warning. Words exist for a reason. Words exist for a reason. All right, y'all. May you protect your greatness.
This is Tanya GJ Prince. Thanks for listening. Y'all be great.